Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blasted it down.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, February the 6th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to talk about what happened to the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 51. But we're really not talking about the Super Bowl. We want to talk about what happened to you. But we don't want to talk about you. We want to talk about what the hell happened to me. How do you do something that you've never done? Now, let that resonate for just one moment. Let me ask the question again. How do you do something you've never done? Like, I've never went, like, trying to think of something I've never done. Let's say bungee jumping. So I never went bungee cord jumping or what have you. So how do you build up the courage or the inertia to go bungee jumping or, you know, what if you wanted to become an astronaut? What if you want to go scuba diving, become an oceanographer or a zoologist or whatever? But how do you do something that you've never done? And it was interesting because when the Super Bowl started, see, the Atlanta Falcons, they've never won a Super Bowl. The New England Patriots, they've won four. After last night, they won five. They've been seven times. So the handwriting was on the wall. Let me make sure you're not over and understand what I'm saying. So in the brain, in the neurological makeup of the players, the coaches, and everybody on the Atlanta Falcons football team, they've never received the Vince Lombardi trophy for winning the Super Bowl. Never, ever. In the, I forgot how many years the Falcons have been in Atlanta, but I know it's been a long time. They've never won a Super Bowl. Now, on the other side of the coin, the New England Patriots, now they was down by 28 points. It was, what, 28-3 at one time? And so they came back and they ended up winning. So how did the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and how did the Atlanta Falcons, who should have won the Super Bowl, how in the world they lost it? They sabotaged. Did you watch the game? Atlanta was doing everything right. And, man, they were scoring points. Their defense was out quarter. Second quarter was off the chain. The Atlanta was going to walk away with the Super Bowl easily. It wasn't even going to be a game. They was going to blow out the New England Patriots. What happened? Halftime came, and it's like, I don't know what they did with the Atlanta Falcons at halftime, but the team that took the field wasn't the same team that took the field in the first half. What happened? I know what happened. It's the same thing that happened to each and every one of us. The Atlanta Falcons failure mechanism kicked in. Because, see, the Atlanta Falcons have never won a Super Bowl before. Never, ever, ever. So when the Atlanta Falcons was attempting to do something, they had no frame of reference. The brain was searching for a frame of reference as to what to do when you're up by 28 points in the Super Bowl and you got two quarters with the best team in football and you need to do something. What do you do? They had no frame of reference. They had nothing to go and to refer. They had no sense of direction. So their failure mechanism, and the word failure is the acronym for the word, or for the words frustration, aggregation, or aggressiveness or lack thereof, insecurity, loneliness, uncertainty, resentment, and emptiness, failure. So the word failure is what happened to the Atlanta Falcons, and the word failure is what happened to you, and that's why, no matter what you do, you will not be able to do what you've never done unless you do what I've done. And you have to rewrite the neurons in your brain, and you have to resurface the receptors on the surface of your blood cells. Now, I'm teaching this in my class through my book, The Biology of Belief. Now, after watching the movie Split, I'm just giddy right now. I'm like a kid in a candy store. Hollywood is actually endorsing what I've been saying about how to reset your biological set point. Now that I got Hollywood in a movie, now you guys know, like I was, you know, I wait until it comes out in the movie. Because obviously, if it's in a movie, you know, it's got to be true, right? So a lot of stuff I don't teach, I just kind of sit on it. Now, there's a whole lot of other stuff that I'm going to come out in my book, Ether Force, that I've been sitting on. You know, I'm just sitting on that one. I can't let that one out yet. I'm hoping one of these next movies coming up is going to allow me to express, expose, and expand. I talked about that website that Brother Rome sent me that was talking about this new form of mass of matter, but I haven't got the green light yet from the Ruach or from the Pneuma to unveil that yet. But you cannot do something that you've never done. The Atlanta Falcons lost the Super Bowl because the Atlanta Falcons have never won a Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons will never win a Super Bowl until they get people on their team who've already won a Super Bowl and who could change the culture of fear or failure. Now, remember the acronym for the word failure, as I said at the beginning of the show, F stands for frustration. A stands for arrogant or aggravation. I stands for insecurity. L stands for loneliness, separation. U stands for uncertainty. R stands for resentment. E stands for emptiness. That's what happened to the Atlanta Falcons. That's what's happening to you. That is the fear mechanism that's inside of the reticular activation system. Now, I talked about that fornication takes place in the fornix. Now, the scripture talks about the fact that the only sin that you do inside of the body is the sin of fornication. Now, I understand this is contrary to your theology. I know this is not the traditional Christendom, but the Bible says flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without or outside of the body, but he that committed fornication sins against his own body. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own. So fornication takes place inside of the body, inside. The word inside means interior. Look it up in the Greek. It means interior. So inside the interior of the brain, inside the fornix, temple. Now, according to science, there's a part that's called the monarch butterfly. That's where, again, your spirit lives. In this place, anybody that is a cheater or anybody that is cheating, the reason that you don't have no wealth, health, wisdom, or relationship is because that is it. Your wealth, your health, your wisdom, and relationship is paid to you in the form of digits or females or males or whatever you're doing. So when I realized that, that's when I stopped charming and I stopped flirting, and then I started making money. Because you can't have both. Because, again, it takes place inside the fornix. The fornix is the furnace. The furnace is the thing that ignites you. That's the thing that powers you. See, the Atlanta Falcons, they didn't have the right things in their fornix. They didn't have the fire. Something wasn't burning because they didn't activate their success mechanism. Now, the success mechanism, the word success, and again, I'll be teaching this entire year, this is a freebie for everybody that's not a part of the system. It's not a part of the biology of behavior that, again, I'm going to show you, biologically prove to you how to rewire your neurons in your brain. That's what I did, just like in the movie Split. I'm going to show you how to biologically rechange the developing mechanism on the surface of your blood cells. I'm going to biologically show you that your receptors, which are your sense organs, and your endocrine or your muscles and your glands, which is called your effectors, and the nervous system, which connects these two, which creates this interconnected mechanism. The receptors receive, the effectors effectively connect the nervous system to the mechanism that controls the behavior. Now, I'm going to biologically prove to you, using my book, The Biology of Behavior, which shows you how to rewire your brain so that the cell surface, the transmembrane receptors, which is on the surface of every blood cell and every cell in your body, is what is called a membrane-anchored protein. These membrane-anchored, they receive signals from external stimuli, and they receive it to your sensory organs, your five senses. You got 12, but we're going to focus on five. And these receptors, now they internalize the external stimulation, and this, again, creates a feeling. This feeling, again, helps you to maintain your balance, your body posture, your equilibrium, your muscles, the activity, the fire, or the furnace. That's why, as I posted on the video this weekend, you cannot allow no external stimulation to affect your internal revelation. If you do, you're in deep kimchi. The failure mechanism automatically, the Atlanta Falcons had to lose. When the game started, I was like, oh, man, are the Falcons going to prove me wrong? They jumped out 28 points. The Falcons have never done what they were trying to do, never. The Atlanta Falcons could not win the Super Bowl. It was impossible for them to win the Super Bowl. I don't know who in their right mind, now, no disrespect to anybody who voted, I was going for the Atlanta Falcons because I was hoping, as you guys know, with all my theories, I'll be hoping and praying that I'm wrong. When I found out that the truth I was praying, oh, Father, please let me be wrong, because that means I got to go tell my family. And everybody in my family, they are traditional Christians. And so when I found out the truth about Constantine's Messiah, when I found out the truth about the Vatican, when I found out the truth about the Masoretic text, when I found out the truth about the Masoretic Jews, when I found out the truth about Matthew 23, where Yeshua says 8 times, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you've taken away the key of knowledge. You yourself, when you cross land and sea to make a convert, that means you go out, you guys, you good Christians, y'all go out and recruit people. Yeah, y'all know y'all is doing, y'all call it evangelizing. It says that when you do that, you make that candidate twofold more a candidate of hell than they were before they met you. Why? Because of scribes and Pharisees. What did they do? They took out dots and tittles. Why does it say in the book of Jeremiah 27, it says that you have inherited lies from your father? So we've inherited these lies from our father. So I didn't want to tell nobody that. So I didn't tell nobody. 20 years I sat on it. Then January 1st of 2009, Father said showtime. So what I'm about to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, is going to be contrary to your theology. There was no way in hell or heaven the Atlanta Falcons could have won the Super Bowl. They've never won a Super Bowl before. So if you've never, you cannot do something that you've never done. So what should the Atlanta Falcons have done? This is what they should have done. Now, what did they do? Number one, F, frustration. Number two, aggravation. A. Number three, I, remember the word failure, I, they got insecure. They started separating. They started doing the long range of stuff. They got lonely. Then the U kicked in. They got uncertain. Oh, man, they started to come back. Then they started the resentment. They got the resentment kicked in. The same thing as fear. And then emptiness, because why? They saw the score. The Patriots came back and spanked them. Why? Because Atlanta had never done that before. And neither can you. You cannot do what you've never done unless you, number one, you rewire the neurons of your brain. And number two, you replace the receptors on the surface of your blood cells. Right now, on the surface of your blood cells, do you know that you can eat healthy and your blood cannot receive it? Because the receptors are programmed for fast food. So, eat healthy all you want. Guess what? Your body's not going to assimilate it. Now, you don't, I pray to God you don't believe me. I hope you don't believe me. I hope you go and start Googling some stuff right now. Now, I got all this in my book. I ain't got to Google nothing. I've already done the research. What do y'all think I do when I do? I change the molecular structure, just like in the movie Split. The people say that can't be done. Just like in the book, The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton, just like Dr. Roy or Raymond Rife, that just like Dr. Jethro Clausen, who did it in 1830. You got a book called Back to Eden. You want to blow your cookies? Read that book. It's on Google for free. Unless you, number one, S, acronym for success. You got to have a sense of direction. I call it purpose. You got to understand that purpose. You got to master it. C, you got to have courage. Next C, because there's two C's in the word success, you got to have clarity. Some people may call it charity. Other people may call it intimacy. Whatever you want to call it, since I had to come up with a word that, C, I chose the word clarity. E, for the word success, self-esteem. Now, leave out the self and just put in the esteem, so that way it fits in the acronym, success. S, sense of direction. U, understanding of that direction. C, courage to follow that direction. C, clarity to make that direction come forth. E, S, self-confidence. S, self-acceptance or self-image. That is the acronym for success. Atlanta didn't have that. And you probably don't have it. So therefore, you cannot do what you've never done. It's impossible for you to make more money than you're making right now. It's impossible for you to lose any weight than what you've lost right now. It's impossible for you to acquire any more knowledge, for you to get rid of your old traditions. It's impossible for you to get rid of your old traditions. It's impossible for you to go to Hebrews 6:1 and read it. It's impossible for you to apply it after you read it. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because I talk to people every day, and they can't get past Hebrews 6:1. I ain't found a preacher yet that can tell me Hebrews and explain to me why they're not doing Hebrews 6:1. And I talk to a lot of preachers every day. Now, I want you to go to Hebrews 6:1, and I want you to read it, and I want you to explain to yourself Hebrews 6:1, please. Because if you don't, you can kiss the baby goodbye. Now, let's make sure we understand, because, again, this is the foundation. This is what I've been doing for 20-plus years. It's a call to maturity. Now, again, there's a bunch of baby cretins out here. That's okay. I know you're not one of them. Otherwise, you would not be listening to the show. I know what I've just said, you'd have hung up already. You got pissed off. Now, who does he be talking to? You'd hung up. But you're still here. Now, I am purposely saying and doing things now that I've never done before. Why? Because I'm going places I've never been. I would never curse. I would never say words that I'm saying now. Now I don't care. I want to violate people's system. I don't want people to listen to me. But I want people who want and who have a desire and whose phoenix has fire. And they are not going to let nothing distract them from their destiny and their goal. You think somebody using foul language is going to get me off course? You think whether somebody's short, fat, whether they're gay or homosexual, if they got what I need, I'm going to go and take that nugget and I'm going to keep it moving. But see, you might be hung up and you might get frustrated. You might get aggravated. You might have a sense of insecurity. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're uncertain. Maybe you got resentment. Maybe you got a little emptiness. That's why you got failure. See, if you got a success, so you got a sense of direction, brother. So you got a sense of understanding. You got courage. So you got clarity. You got esteem. You got self-confidence. You got a self-image. You got self-acceptance. You don't give a rip about what nobody else thinks. You're not concerned about other people's opinion of you. You've read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. You know what it says. You've read Hebrews 6:1, and it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, you're still talking about Jesus Christ? Knock yourself out, homie. May God have mercy on your soul. Therefore, leaving. Now, I don't know about you, but last time I checked the definition of leaving, it meant to get up and go. That's last time I checked. It says, therefore, leaving. Now, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. Nor am I the brightest bulb in the pack. So let's read the Hebrews 6:1 in the New Living Translation. It says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again and again. And let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Now, again, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed. I overstand. There's a lot of brighter bulbs out there than me. I'm a little slow. It took me 40 years to figure this one verse out. But I said, that's what I was doing. I was teaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yeah, that's what I did. 40 years. Thankfully, I got hit in the head by a spiritual 2x4. I pray to God that spirit, that same spiritual 2x4 that he used on me, I pray that he used it on you too. So you can wake up. Because Hebrews 6:1 continues and it says, surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Yeah, we don't have to talk about that no more. We've already talked about it. That's a dead issue. So why are we still talking about it? Because nobody knows what comes next. So we've got to talk about that, because we don't know what comes after that. What about verse 2? Hebrews 6:2 says this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. It says, of the doctrine of baptism. How many people you know talk about baptism? Everybody. And of the laying on of hands. How many people you know talk about laying on of hands? Everybody. And the resurrection of the dead. How many know you talk about, oh yeah, Jesus coming, resurrect the dead? Everybody. And of the eternal judgment. How many people are still preaching it? If you don't do this, that, and other, you're going to go to hell. Everybody. Still teaching that craziness. Hebrews 3. But let's read Hebrews 6:2 in the New Living Translation for people that's like me, I'm part of the LLD club, the Little Lost Dummy Club. When I was a kid, I was part of the LLD, Little Lost Dummy. I ain't no Little Lost Dummy no more, though. See, Hebrews 6:2 says this. Now, I'm not disrespecting you. I'm talking about myself. I can talk about me because I've grown. It doesn't affect me no more. So I throw stones at myself all the time. It's funny now. Them little imps, they used to whoop me upside my head. Now I use them suckers for a doormat. See, Hebrews 6:2 says this, brother. Hebrews 6:2 says this, just in the New Living Translation. It says, you don't need further instruction about baptism. You don't need the laying on of hands. You don't need to understand the resurrection of the dead or the eternal justice, eternal judgment. You don't need that. What do you need, brother? What do you need, sister? Hebrews 6:3 says, and this we will do if God permits. what are we going to do? Hebrews 6:4. Hebrews 6:4 says this, for if, or it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and having tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the coming age. It says it is impossible. New Living Translation, Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Ghost. Hold up, time out. When did you do that? I mean, I'm just wondering. Like, I don't remember experiencing any of those things. Do you? Do you remember your prior existence with the Father? Yeah, I don't think so. What is Hebrews 6 telling you, homie? Now we can go to 1 Corinthians and we can go deeper down the rabbit trail. For me, I can prove to you that this ain't your first rodeo. I can prove to you that if you're here on earth, you ain't here by accident. Oh yeah. You're here because you sided with the fallen star demonstration instead of the morning star administration. But that's another study for another time. We're here now. But we need to do something that we've never done. But we can't do something that we've never done because we don't remember where we came from. See, you can't go back. You cannot go to heaven unless you came from heaven. Now, let it marinate. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that you can't go nowhere you have not been. If you didn't come from the Father, you can't go back to the Father. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 is very, very important because it says it is impossible to bring back to repentance, which means remembrance, those who were once enlightened. Yeah, you used to be enlightened. Then you fail. And then it says, it's impossible for those who once experienced the good things of heaven. So when did you experience the good things of heaven, brother? When did you experience the good things of heaven, sister, and shared in the Holy Ghost? Do you remember it? Yeah, I don't think so. But let's go a little further down the rabbit trail, shall we, so we can understand why you cannot do something that you not have already done. So if you don't remember that you've already done this, you can't do it. See, I remembered. I went back and I regened myself. Regeneration. So I call those things that are not as though they know. So the word remember means to return. Mem means the biological regeneration of the genes. See, I used to be a member of the Morningstar administration. So I got to remember it. If I don't remember it, Hebrews 6:5. Hebrews 6:5 says this. Those who have tasted of the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come. So I've already experienced all this stuff. I've already experienced the powers of this coming age. I did it. When did I do that? Hebrews 6:6. Hebrews 6:6 says, and who then turn away from God. So I've experienced all this and then I turn away. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. So it's telling us, brothers and sisters, in Hebrews 6, and I didn't even want to go this far into it, I just want Hebrews 6:1. But it's telling us that Hebrews 6:1 through verse 7, we had an experience, and then we had a falling away. And it is impossible to be restored again to repentance unless we can remember the prior existence. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. This is what I teach, but I've been teaching it, and it won't take clockwork. Anytime I'm up against an obstacle, I remember, I go back and I remember past success that I've experienced. And I remember by the process of remembering, I am remembering, I am re-imaging. Now, I would like for you to go to dictionary.com or your favorite dictionary and type in the word mem. So when you remember, I am doing something to my member. I am returning a mem to its membership. The word mem is the cultural item that is transmitted by repetition and replication in a manner to the biological transmission of the genes. It is a cultural item in the form of an image, video, or phrase that is spread. Now, brothers and sisters, you cannot do something that you've never done until you remember you've already done it. There's nothing new under the sun, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanities of vanities is all a vexation of spirit. The only reason that your spirit is vexed, the only reason that you got a problem in your life right now today is because you don't remember who you are and whose you are. You don't have a cultural reference. The word culture comes from the word cult. So if you don't remember your cult or your culture, what is your culture? When you say culture, what do you mean? You know, the word culture is the civilization. It's the social makeup. The word culture, again, comes from the word cult. It's the thing that allows you to cultivate. So the word culture comes from the word culture and the word cultivate or cultivation. It is the cultivating of the mind. See, the culture is the civilization, cultivation. So if you cannot cultivate the culture of the cult of your mind, that simply means that if I can't put something in my brain, because remember, whatever you can imagine in the brain doesn't know whether or not it's real or fake. The brain automatically, as Hollywood has animatedly and vividly explained in the movie Split, if you can think it, let me quote my good buddy Napoleon Hill, the author of the book Think and Grow Rich, Pursuing My Financial Endeavors. Napoleon Hill wrote in his book Think and Grow Rich, whatever the mind of the man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Now, let it marinate, because see, whatever the mind of the man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. The mind. The mind is a very powerful thing. And without understanding how to use, how to cultivate, how to regerminate the mind, it's going to create a lot of issues. The number one issue that the mind is going to create is failure. Now remember, failure starts with frustration. Frustration because you don't know what to do. And then when you get frustrated, then you get aggravated. And then when you get aggravated, you start to self-destruct. You start to act out. You start to get emotional. You start to get aggressive. And then nothing is working, so you don't know how to channel. You got all of this anger. You want to channel it somewhere. But again, you don't have a purpose. You don't got a dream, so you get insecure. And so the feelings of insecurity are based upon a self-concept that is inadequate. That's what happened to the Atlanta Falcons. They was doing great. They was riding high on the hog until they realized we've never won a Super Bowl before. So in mental attitude, see, when you get insecure, you lose this mental attitude of superiority, and you develop a mental attitude of inferiority. So the Falcons went from being superior to inferior. First half, they was dominated. Second half, they got spanked. And then they got lonely. See, loneliness is a chronic feeling. It is being alienated. You feel alone. Loneliness, again, is actually a self-protection mechanism. See, whenever you feel like you've been exposed, see, with Atlanta, they got exposed. When they start feeling like exposed, they start feeling you automatically withdraw because you don't want nobody to really see your underskirt or your undergarment. So loneliness is a self-protection mechanism. Anytime you start losing, you start withdrawing, you want to be alone. I know a lot of people, they check in, check out. Why? Because they're experiencing exposure. So whenever you go out and you're attempting to do something that you've never done, you're going to feel exposed because you feel uncomfortable, and then you're going to withdraw. And then when you withdraw, you're going to become uncertain about what you were doing. Now, you started out like the Atlanta Falcons. You started off good. You came out the gun, pow, 100 miles an hour. Maybe you're writing a book. Maybe you're doing a show. Maybe you're, you know, starting a new relationship. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you bought a new car. You know, that feeling, that honeymoon phase. We all at the honeymoon phase. Man, everything's going great. Then, whatever, hiccup, something happens, frustration, a little aggravation, insecurity. Then, am I doing the right thing? I better kind of backtrack a little bit and double check, make sure I'm doing everything right. So you withdraw. You become lonely. And then once that happens, bam, you become uncertain. Because you like, I mean, you never done it before, so you don't really know, do you? You just kind of, so you kind of winging it. I mean, you watch a YouTube video or two, but you ain't really certain. Because you start asking yourself, am I making a mistake? Uh-oh, did I do it right? See, there's two types of uncertainty. See, one type of uncertainty is based upon the false premise that you made the wrong decision. See, nobody wants to be wrong. So that creates uncertainty. Now, you started, but whatever you're doing, you don't really know because you ain't never done it before. So you don't know, so maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Then the second type of uncertainty is you made a decision prematurely. Or you made the decision hastily, so you start to second guess. You have buyer's remorse. You started doing this, and then you're like, man, I'm uncertain because, you know, maybe I jumped the gun. Am I in the right place? So then you start getting resentment. Now, the word resentment is two Latin words, the word re, again, which means to return or to go back, and sentiment, or in Latin, sentire, it means feel. So that means the word resentment means that you are emotionally rehashing over. You are having emotional, mental, now it's all internal, it's all in your head. You're going back and you are rehashing this emotion, which is an entity. So you're going back, you find them entities, them demons that brought the fear anyway, and you start fighting with them. And you and those demons are going out inside your head. Now, these are the imaginary demons. They're not real. But in your brain, they're real because resentment means to return to the demonics, the demons that were sent. You say, hey, fellas, y'all come back over here. Now, the demons, they left because you made a decision and you started moving. But failure says, no, you're frustrated because you made a decision, but it ain't happening fast enough or whatever. Then you get a little angry, arrogant, aggressive, any A word you want to throw in. Then you get a little insecure. Then you start to withdraw. You get lonely. Then you get uncertain. Then you call them demons. Hey, demons, y'all come back, man. I got a little resentment because I really don't know. See, resentment is inconsistent goal striving. What does that mean? Resentment means, and I'm going to teach that inside of my Etheric Force book. Number one mistake that everybody on earth does is they put energy into their goal. I know that's what every self-help book teaches you, but let me tell you the truth of how the ether, how the world works. See, I don't know about you, but if you want to prove my theory, go to a lake or go to a pond, drop a pebble in it, and see when it starts making the ripples, if there's anything that inside the water that comes to you. When you put something in water, it pushes stuff away. Don't believe me? Go to the pond, try it out. Put something in the water, piece of paper, then drop a rock in the water, it creates ripples. Those ripples push away. When you put energy into something, it pushes it away. Don't believe me? What about relationships? Men, we go after the female, push her away. Then when we withdraw our energy, what happens? The female comes after us. This goes back and forth in relationships. The universe works the same way. So you want something, you say, man, you know what? Shoot, I want to get this job. I'm going to put all my energy into getting this job. You can't get a job. You can't buy a job. Why? You're pushing it away. Because you're violating universal law, which the Bible says this: God has given me everything that I need for life and godliness. Past tense, I already got it. So when you go to God, you say, God, give me, my name is Jimmy. God said, hold up, time out. I gave every man a measure of faith already. Jerusalem died on the cross, and he said, it is done. It is finished. I ain't doing nothing else. I'm out. I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit to remind you that I've done everything for you already. Past tense. So if you come to me crying, begging, broke, busted and disgusted, who you? I don't know you. I'm not your daddy. Because, see, I gave my children their share. I gave them their lot. I gave them their hamateno in the Greek. It's their part. It's their destiny. It's their dear Camille. You got one, brother. You got one. So stop asking for one. You already got one. So everything that you need, you already got. So if you go to the Father and you praying for something, the Father's like, it's like if my son come and ask me that, can I have some meat? Dude, you live here, man. Go to the refrigerator and get. Why are you asking me? You're my son. I made sure that I have provisions for you. I brought you school clothes. Don't come asking me. I gave you money for lunch already. What'd you do with it? Oh, yeah. You gave it to Lucy Barr. Oh, okay, yeah. See that resentment? That leads to the last piece of the puzzle. Why Atlanta lost the Super Bowl? Why we're losing our life? Why we're not winning in life? Emptiness. See, after you go from frustration, arrogance, anger, aggressiveness, insecurity, loneliness, uncertainty, resentment, bam, we got this resentment. See, resentment is empty. Is interesting because, you know, I mean, not resentment, emptiness. After the resentment comes the emptiness. Emptiness is just like, man, I'm living life with no zeal, no creativity. I'm living life with no purpose. You ever met somebody who said life has no purpose? Really what they mean is that their goals that they're going after is not coming towards them. Why? Well, if you put energy into the matrix, you push away the goal. When you withdraw energy from the matrix, you draw the goal. But what happens when you are neutral in the matrix? Let me tell you the secret to life. The secret is don't put no energy in, don't take no energy out. The secret, brothers and sisters, is to detach from the goal and attach to the role. Now, I wrote that book and did that show like 10 years ago. But let me tell you the secret again. You might want to ask me, Brother Will, what's the definition of goal and role? Because, see, nobody asked me that question. And so people think, oh, okay, my goal is to make, you know, $100,000 a year. So they go out and they make the goal of making $100,000 a year, and they start pursuing the goal. And it doesn't work because they're putting all of their energy into the goal of making $100,000. Then they get frustrated. And then after they get frustrated, y'all know, they get aggressive, they get arrogant, they get insecure, they get lonely, they get uncertain, they have resentment, then they get empty because the goal is not coming. Because they put money in, and when you put energy into a system, it pushes out. It pushes stuff out. So then you withdraw, and you take money out, or you take your interest out of the system, but you draw the goal to you. But guess what happens? The goal never reaches you. Because you keep moving backwards and the goal keeps moving forward, but the twain never meet. So the goal is for you to become a single standing column. You need to be a lighthouse. Notice the ship come to the lighthouse. Notice that the light illuminates the shoreline so the ship doesn't run aground. You are a lighthouse, brother. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that what good is a lamp if it's hidden underneath the lampstand? What good is salt if it loses its flavor? So what should you be doing? This is what you should be doing. All of your energy, all of your time should be invested in you through my products and my services or somebody else's. In other words, I'm going to invest in my role. Now, what is the role? If I'm playing in the movie and I'm playing the bad guy in the movie, I'm the villain in the movie. So if I'm the villain in the movie, that's my role. My goal in the movie is to be a good villain. But how do I be a good villain? I do what good villains do. So your role, if I am going to write a book, my goal is to write a book. I'm not going to put a book on the wall on my vision board. I'm not going to talk about I am writing a book. I'm not going to look at my vision board. I'm not going to do no Hail Marys. I'm not going to do no mantras. I'm not going to do no energy. I'm not going to imagine writing a book. If I'm writing a book, I'm going to set that as my goal. I'm going to write a 300-page book. Once I set it as a goal, I'm going to do exactly what Jesus did. I'm going to back up, and then I'm going to begin. So you finish it, and then you back up and begin. How do you finish it? Write it down or put it in your head. I'm going to write a 400-page book. Now, I'm going to write that 400-page book in 1 year. So I'm going to take 365 days in a year, 400 pages. That means for me, I don't want to get out of time for editing, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to write, I'm going to be finished my book in half the time. So I'm going to write 2 pages a day. So I'm going to back up, and I'm going to attach myself. I'm going to detach from the goal. One book, 400 pages, 1 year from now. Detach. Forget about it. I take all of my energy out. No energy I'm going to put into the goal. I'm taking all my energy I'm going to put into the role. What is my role? two pages a day. So all of my energy, I'm going to research, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to put my 3x5 course. I'm going to go and give me some YouTube search, watch videos. I'm going to give me some images. I'm going to find me a good editor. I'm going to find me a copyright. I'm going to make sure I get my ISBN number. I'm going to find me a publisher. I'm going to get me a literary agent. If I'm going that route, if I'm self-published, I'm going to attach to the process, my brother, and the principles that lead to the goal. See, everybody, I know they got a goal and they're attached to the goal. My goal, I'm going to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. That's my goal. How I'm going to do it? I don't know. I'm just going to do it. That's why it doesn't work. Now, Atlanta, they got a goal. Win the Super Bowl. How are they going to do it? They don't know. Why? How do I know that they didn't know? Because nobody on the Atlanta Falcons team had been to the Super Bowl. So who going to lead them? Now, they had a coach who went to the Super Bowl with another team, Seattle, and they lost. How many people on the Atlanta Falcons football team went to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl? Now, how many people on the New England Patriots who went to the Super Bowl and had won a Super Bowl? I think damn near the whole team. And we wonder why the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl? The New England Patriots won the Super Bowl because they had already been to the Super Bowl. They know how to do it. So you need to hook up with somebody who's already been where you're trying to go. And then you need to find out what did they do to get there. You need to do exactly what they did. If you deviate from the process, which everybody I know does, then you're not going to get there. Now, brothers and sisters, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Meaning, there's a lot of different ways to write a book. I got my way of writing books. I don't write them. I speak them. What I'm doing right now, I take the audio show, turn the audio into text, add some pictures, put some paragraphs in it, bam, I have a book. Now, go to Harvard or Yale, they're going to tell you, that's not correct. That's not how you write a book. Well, I'm making a living. I'm getting paid. Got 50 books doing it this way. So this is my system. Now, Harvard, Yale may have a different system, maybe better. But my system works for me because, again, I'm not trying to be a literary. I'm not trying to be on the New York bestsellers. Writing the books for me is just a hobby. I'm a didactic teacher. Writing books is just a part-time endeavor. It's just something I do when I get bored. So therefore, I'm not trying to be the best freaking book writer. I'm trying to be the best temple builder. That's my mission. That's my purpose. And I use teaching as the vehicle that drives me to the place that allows me to build temples, not book writing. I build temples. I say things that empowers your body so that way you can house the Shekinah glory of God. So that way you have a sense of direction. You have a sense of understanding. That way you have courage. That way you have clarity. That's why you have esteem, high self-esteem. That way you have self-worth. That way you have self-value. That way you have self-confidence. That way you have self-image. That way you have self-awareness. That way you have success. Because I've already been where you're trying to go. So how do you do something that you've never done? Find somebody that has already been there and done it. Because they are just going to remind you that you probably did it, but you did it in another avenue. Did you know that the same principles that I use to lose weight, same principles apply to making money? I had no clue. Now, I'm a weight loss exercise guru. There's not too many people on earth that know more than me in the area of physical fitness and nutrition. Now, I understand I was going to become a licensed and registered dietitian until I had to take their oath. I was going to become, but I gave up my license in real estate because you got to sign this ethics form that you don't take advantage of other people by what you know. Go into areas that limit my expertise to get the approval of the government. But I don't carry a lot of licenses and registrations for the government, because then they govern it. They govern me. I'm not trying to be governed, but I'm going to tell you the truth about nutrition. But if I was a licensed dietitian, I couldn't tell you the truth about vegetables healed. Fruits are the earth's cleansers. Vegetables are the earth's healers. What does meat do? I don't do nothing. See, if I was a licensed dietitian, I could not tell you that you could cure cancer. Couldn't tell you that. I would lose my license. Therefore, I don't have a license to be a dietitian, even though I know everything that they do, that they know, probably more. So let me tell you how to do what you've never done. The way that you do what you've never done is you find the area, and everybody has an area, that you are gifted in because you're doing it already. The same principles apply. You know, let me tell you what Atlanta didn't do. You know what the Atlanta Falcons didn't do? Consistency. You ever heard that thing in the Bible where it talks about the race is not won to the swift, but he that endureth to the end? You ever heard that story about the tortoise and the hare? See, I'm the hare. I'm a retired hare. I'm a transformed tortoise now. I've retired my hareship. I've hung up my hair. I am no longer associated with, nor do I hang out or claim to know my former employer, Lucien Farr. Now, when I worked for the hares, now remember the story of the hare and the tortoise. Remember that story. Everybody heard that story. The hare runs circles around the tortoise. Circles around it. All zeal, no knowledge. 100 miles. How did Atlanta come out the gate? Atlanta came out the gate, man, they would look like they're going to blow New England out the water. This was going to be the worst Super Bowl ever. This was going to be a freaking 60-3 massacre. That's what I thought. At halftime, the game was over. I figured the Super Bowl was over at halftime. I knew Atlanta was going to, I knew they was going to lose, but I was like, nah, maybe Atlanta's going to prove me wrong. That's why I can't teach my theorem. But guess what? Atlanta proved my theorem, brothers and sisters. But just like the rabbit. Atlanta, just like you. Atlanta, just like me. Come out the gate, 100 miles an hour. Yeah, buddy. Run out of gas. See, brothers and sisters, the race, I'm learning this too. That's why I'm talking about it. Now remember, I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about myself. I just invite you guys along to listen. The race is not won by the swift. Now, I always thought it was good to be swift. I was a sprinter in high school. I really didn't get into long-distance running. And I did it to develop some endurance. Then I went in the Marine Corps, and they didn't have no short distance. You know, the shortest distance they have is 3 miles. That's the shortest run that we ever did in the Marine Corps. Formation run, group run, individual run. When you do the Marine Corps physical fitness test, you got to do 20 pull-ups, you got to do 60 sit-ups in a minute, and you got to run 3 miles in less than 18 minutes. That's a six-minute mile. I don't know if we got any runners out there. I don't know if you know a six-minute mile pace. But you might want to go try to run 1 mile in 6 minutes, and then, you know, holler at me. We got to do 3 of them. And a six-minute pace. So, see, I wasn't really good at long distance until I went into Marines. In fact, I thought I couldn't do it. I told myself there's no way on God's green earth I'm going to run no 3 miles in 18 minutes. Y'all smoking some serious ganja. But guess what happened? I rewired my neurons. I changed the surface of the receptors on my blood cells. I activated the effectors inside of my blood. Why? The life of the flesh is in the blood. I reprogrammed my reptilian or my rectal activation system. Not rectum. I'm teaching all this in the series. That changed my endocrine, my endocrine glands. And these endocrine glands start releasing different types of chemicals. And my nervous system connected and picked up what my receptors were sending. And it changed, like in the movie Split, the molecular structure of my body. Now, I teach this to all people who suffer from obesity or diabetes. with 100% success rate. Because if you understand that the levels of the hormones, such as insulin and leptin, that modify the type of, that modify our glycemic index inside of the body, well, you become insulin deficient. But why and how does this happen? How does this happen? Way back in the day, there was a group of people called the Stoics. Back in the Greeks. And the Stoics discovered, though, that willpower is just like muscle. It's like a muscle power. The more you exercise it, the stronger that it gets. So the Stoics, they practiced what is called self-denial techniques over long periods of time. And the Stoics learned that they could transform themselves into individuals that had remarkable self-healing capabilities by exercising this thing called self-control. Go figure. But how did they develop this self-control? They did it through training themselves through voluntary acts of discomfort. There is a book called The Discords, and it talks about this inside of this book, and it talks about, again, self-denial, and it talks about negative visualization. Now, I'm going to break all of this down inside of my series, but I need you guys to understand that according to Stoicism, and this guy by the name of Epictetus, I guess his name, he was a philosopher who lived back in 55 A.D., back in Greece. He was one of the guys that came up with this ideal that I've been talking about for 20-plus years, is how to change your receptors inside of your blood cells. Now, until the movie Split, and there's a few doctors like Dr. Bruce Lipton and a few other people out there who understand this concept as well, is that on the surface of your blood and all of the organs out of the body is receptors. The key to change behavior, as I will go into, or I'm going to explain with everybody that's a part of it, how I've been doing this and how you can do it too. And it is this understanding that if you change your receptors, you change your set point. But nobody knows how to change your receptors. Science is trying to figure out how to change your receptors. Now, in the movie Split, Hollywood, they know how to change your receptors. Now, I know how to change your receptors. I've been doing my own, changing my own receptors and rewriting and changing my own brain for 20 years. You know how to change and rewire the neurons in your brain? That is how you do something that you. My brothers and my sisters, it's my honor and my privilege, especially for the members, the six members that are working with me in 2017, that the journey that we are going upon starting tonight at 6 p.m., 7 p.m., is a biological journey through the law of consciousness and the understanding of what I call life optimization. And just like in the movie Split, I don't want to ruin the movie for somebody who hasn't seen it. You can change the biological structure of your body with your thoughts. Now, I've been saying this for years. And finally, it's coming out with Hollywood. And finally, I got a group of people that I'm going to prove it to, because we're going to do stuff that we've never done. In order to, we're going to think thoughts that we've never thought. In order to feel feelings that we've never felt. So that way we can produce and manifest things that we've never had. Brothers and sisters, in actuality, everything that we've done or everything that we're doing, we've already done. We just don't remember. We're just going to activate that dormant DNA where all of your repressed memories are at. And we're going to remember. We're going to remember. And we're going to activate that and unfold that DNA so that we can oscillate and vibrate on the frequency that the Father has originally designed us to. We're going to return back to being light beings. Now, we used to be light beings. We're just returning back to the sheepfold. Just like the scripture says, we're going to go past those basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we're going to go where? This is a call to maturity. This is not for new believers. None of my shows are for new believers. This, now don't get me wrong, that's a start. You got to start there first. But then, you got to go on. It says, let us go on. At some point in time in your life, you got to make the decision to go on. I want to thank God for the people that have made that decision. My brothers and my sisters, the only way for you to do what you've never done is when you find your craft and you master your craft, you got to be consistent. If the Atlanta Falcons had been consistent, if they had been firm, fair, and consistent, if they had done what they did in the first and second quarter, the third and fourth quarter, the Atlanta Falcons would be the Super Bowl champions and not the New England Patriots. But the New England Patriots, they had already been to the Super Bowl. They were consistent. They ended the exact same way that they started. Tom Brady dropping back, throwing the ball, because that's what they do. Atlanta tried to reinvent themselves. The Patriots didn't. You are trying to be somebody else. Well, let me phrase that. I was trying to be somebody else. Who can be? Is there somebody out there that can be a better version of me? No. The only person that can be me is me. So like the New England Patriots, I'm going to do me. I'm going to be me. I'm going to invest all my energy into being me. I'm not going to invest my energy into no goal. I'm not going to withdraw my energy from no role. I'm going to put all my energy. I'm going to stop trying to be, you know, T.D. Jakes. I'm not going to try to be Les Brown. I'm not going to try to be Tony Robbins. I'm going to be Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. I'm going to put all my energy into being me. I'm not going to put no energy into no goal. I'm not going to withdraw my energy. I'm going to place all my energy into being me and become a lighthouse. And my light going to shine so bright that I'm going to draw all men unto me. That sounds like something Yahushua said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That is your job, brothers and sisters, is to find and lift up the Christ, the christened in you. What is Christ? The messianic office that furnished the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. If you lift up your office, you're going to draw everybody to you that you need. Guaranteed. My brothers, my sisters, I'm the only one. Ain't no one else. I'm the only one. I am Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.